morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greetings to the 400 affiliates listening. And if you're watching on Facebook or my YouTube channel or on Instagram, welcome as well. I have a new guest, Professor Todd Zwicky, is a professor of law at the Antonin Scalia School of Law at George Mason University in Virginia. Professor Zwicky is just a genius and a lot of fun and travels the country and is always well received by Federalist Society everywhere. He has two expertise, which I want to draw on this morning in our 10 minutes together. One is nursing homes and the other is bankruptcy. And I want to start with nursing homes because he has a new piece out in National Review, which I just tweeted out to all of you about what we all kind of know, that there's a nursing home specific dimension to the virus crisis. And Professor Zwicky, welcome. It's good to have you, Todd. Tell us first about the National Review piece and about this iceberg underneath the statistics about where the virus is hitting the homes.
Great to be with you, Hugh. And this is sort of one of those classic stories of something hiding in plain sight, which is the nursing home problem has been really the heart of this whole issue. And it's not just in the United States. Worldwide or throughout the Western world, more than half of all deaths from coronavirus-related diseases have been in nursing homes. In the United States, we're finding the same thing. In Minnesota, it's now three-quarters of deaths in Minnesota. And what we're seeing is numerous states are revising this upwards as they're systematically collecting the data. And this is important in three ways, which is first, obviously, it says we should focus more resources on nursing homes. But second, it also says that we've probably vastly overstated the risk of the virus to the general public because we're lumping in nursing home deaths with all the other deaths and in the way we think about this. And the third thing is it actually helps us to think about how we might protect nursing homes better going forward. But the large point here is that all the things we've done, things that have basically destroyed the economy, have driven up depression and had all these horrible things, really done nothing to address the heart of the problem, which is these huge outbreaks in nursing homes, which have an especially vulnerable population and are especially prone to infection outbreaks.
Now, Professor, there are millions of people listening in, leaning in right now, because one or both of their parents or in-laws or grandparents are living in a nursing home. And there are great nursing homes out there, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, terrific, wonderful, and there are terrible ones. So there's a bell curve of nursing facilities and elder care homes and Alzheimer care homes. And there are good ones and there are terrible ones, et cetera. Do we know anything about the distribution of virus deaths according to any other metric by which we rate nursing homes? For example, long-term morbidity ahead of actuarial morbidity, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. And this is one of the problems, Hugh, is that because we have kind of focused our response, the problems in nursing homes, and we've basically focused our response on everything but nursing homes, which is amazing here. It was literally just last week that the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Studies announced that they're going to start collecting systematic data on what's going on in nursing homes. In Europe, it's been the same thing. So at this point, we don't really understand what underlies this. What we do understand and do know is that nursing homes were not prepared for this when it first happened. They've ramped up their protections substantially, but it's a very difficult situation, and I think this is one of those things, rather than, you know, for a fraction of the amount of money we're spending on unemployment insurance and trying to keep businesses from filing bankruptcy, we could really, in some sense, almost give a bailout to nursing homes so that they could take more aggressive protocols. They have responded as they've understood the problem, but I don't think we've really got a good handle on the whole scope of the problem, where it comes from, and how to prevent this going forward.
Now, Professor Zwicky, this is I don't want to be mean-spirited. I don't want to be in any way flippant. But a cruise ship is a natural breeder of disease, and people know that because of the close confinement. Are not nursing homes very similar to cruise ship in the health dynamic within them?
Absolutely. And take that in cruise ships have a generally elderly population, but add into that mix the fact that nursing homes also have a relatively vulnerable people tend to be much more health impaired to begin with. And so we need special vigilance in dealing with nursing homes because it's basically the cruise ship on steroids. it's the cruise ship in terms of the tendency for an outbreak, with even one bigger point, which is people come and go from nursing homes, even EMTs, even delivery people. On cruise ships, you don't have this kind of constant introduction of outside people into the environment, and so it really requires even more vigilance.
Now, aren't most elder care facilities licensed by the state? In other words, cannot the state – this is not a federal government issue. This is a state licensure issue. Ought they not to be upping their vigilance at the state level?
They should be, and my impression is that they are. And one of the things is honestly, I think this just got people by surprise. So for example, there's often comparisons to influenza. In influenza, there have been serious outbreaks in nursing homes. But one of the things we see with that is pretty much every nursing home makes sure that every resident gets a flu shot every year, which substantially reduces the risk to nursing homes from big influenza outbreaks. They're very sketchy. They're very sporadic on whether or not they give staff require influenza tests. But here, this is a new one, caught them off guard. And states were obviously behind the state governments were really, and regulators were really behind the curve in catching up to this.
I know you're not a doctor. I know you didn't stay at a Holiday Inn. You're a lawyer. Ought people be trying to get their parents out of nursing homes, or do you even have any statistical evidence that that is what is underway?
We know that what we know is that the population is starting to decline. I think people, what we're seeing is that people are not putting their parents in nursing homes. We also see nursing homes also had a lot of transitory population. You know, maybe somebody would come in for 2 weeks or a month after they had hip replacement surgery. So those people are not moving in because a lot of those surgery
postponed
protocols have been postponed. So obviously people want to be careful about that. In a lot of people who are in nursing homes, unfortunately, because they are such a vulnerable population, it's hard to bring them home. It's hard to take care of somebody like that. And there's a reason why they are in one of these professional care facilities to begin with. But I think that one of the things we could be thinking about would be, how do we separate nursing home populations better? How do we take the ones maybe who are less unhealthy, move them into apartments, for example, where they could be supported, something like that, that would then allow more space for those who are genuinely need more supervision. A lot of more aggressive things that I think might be worth some investments. That right now nursing homes, a lot of them are on the verge of bankruptcy simply because of the increased protocols they've had to take.
Now, Professor, I want to switch and give you 2 minutes. A primer. What is the debate about when we talk about a new chapter in the bankruptcy code for states? Just frame it, and we'll be back to this for months. What's you have the floor for 2 minutes. What's the framing of the issue?
Well, here's the way I think of it, Hugh, which is, in the ideal world, these reckless states who have overspent that you've been documenting for a long time, New York, Connecticut, Illinois, they would get their fiscal house in order. They would actually live within their means. I don't think there's any evidence that that's going to happen. And so my view on this is that state bankruptcy is probably the least bad solution to dealing with these states, which is the alternative would essentially be an ad hoc rolling just political feeding frenzy, where the alternative would be states could pick and choose what debts they wanted to pay or default on. I think we know how that ends, which is the politically most powerful groups, which is really public employee unions, who are one of the big reasons we're in this situation to begin with, is because of the lavish pension plans and the like. They will largely emerge unscathed. I think bankruptcy at least puts this in a system where there's a rule of law, where there's some rules, and might actually bring about a long-term remedy to these state financial problems without a lot of disruption to everyday life or interruption of services.
Professor Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, suggested that even the passage of such a statute would rattle markets. We have less than a minute. Is he right? Would that cause bonds to plummet in value if even the whisper of an authority that is optional became law?
I don't think so. What we see is that a lot of these bonds are already, like Illinois, they're basically already treated like junk bonds. And if anything, I think that the passage of this would basically allow bondholders to have some assurance that that they'll get something, that there'll be some protection of them in bankruptcy. So I think that's just an overstated concern personally.
I hope you will keep coming back, Professor. I have sent your National Review article, which ought to be mandatory reading for anyone who has a parent or a grandparent in a nursing facility, for the professionals who run them, for the people who live in them and read and watch news. They want to read Todd Zwicky, and then they want to talk to the team that's taking care of them about being on guard. I'll be right back, America. Thank you, Professor Todd Zwicky from George Mason University's Eugene's Antonin Scalia School of Law. I just promoted the Secretary of Labor there. It's the Justice Scalia School of Law. I'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show.